Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tonight we meditate upon the words from Matthew 26, 17 to 30, in which Jesus lays before us a wonderful gift for us and for the church throughout the ages. Now on the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" He answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" He said to him, "You have said it." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. What is this thing that the Lord has done for his church, for us, for me? What is this gift that he gives us this evening? We call it a sacrament. And the word sacrament does not come from Scripture. It's a word we use to describe something that Scripture teaches. And so, to some degree, we can say this is what a sacrament means, or that is what a sacrament means. But that decision is largely already made. And we use the term to describe something which consists of five things. Number one, it's a sacred act. And by that, we simply mean it's something we do for God, or something we do in the praise and worship of God, within the context of our worship service. Number two, it is given by Christ. A sacrament must come from God, and we're going to see why in a little bit. It is not something that man can make up or decide on his own. This thing or that thing is a sacrament. Only God can make a true sacrament. And so, despite the fact that through the ages many people have tried to elevate different church traditions to the level of a sacrament, those are empty, useless traditions. They do not have the power and the meaning and the gifts that the Lord gives us in the true sacrament. Number three, it is something that uses earthly elements. And here we see the love and mercy of our God, in that he chooses simple, common things that all of us have access to, that we can do and use easily. Because his purpose isn't to give us a great, difficult, glorious task to show our great devotion to the Lord. No, his purpose is to provide a very simple and easy way to remind us of the gift that he comes to bring us. And so in the case of the Lord's Supper, he uses bread and wine. And in the case of baptism, water. But the earthly elements by themselves accomplish nothing. The things of this earth cannot in any way help us before the Lord, before God. They cannot help us with our spiritual situation. And so we come to point number four. It must be connected to the Word of God. Because only the Word of God can take those simple earthly elements and elevate them to something so much greater, so much more wonderful. something which gives us, and this is number five, the forgiveness of sins. And that's why no man-made tradition, no earthly thing that we come up with could ever be a sacrament, because we cannot give or make a way through which people can receive the forgiveness of sins. And there are many examples of how the traditions of men have, in the minds of men, taken the place of the sacraments. We could probably spend all night talking about the wrong ways in which men have thus elevated traditions. But the important thing is not what men have done wrong, but what God has given us. That is the two sacraments, the two things that meet all five of these criteria, baptism and the Lord's Supper, through which the Lord blesses us with spiritual blessings and the forgiveness of sins. That's the technical definition of the sacrament. And for those in catechism class still, when you get your final test and I say, what is a sacrament? Those are the five things you better write down. But if we were to be a little more informal, we could easily describe it as any act the Lord commands through which he gives his gifts, his blessings. Specifically, we are interested, of course, mainly in those acts, those sacred acts in which he gives us the forgiveness of sins. But if we take a slightly more informal approach to sacraments, we can see how the Lord uses the same idea throughout the scripture. As I mentioned before our first scripture reading, throughout the scripture, he comes and reveals himself to man in this way, this way of using simple acts, simple earthly things, and bringing his blessings through them. Now again, these examples, some of these examples I'm going to point to, are not true sacraments because the Lord is giving earthly blessings through them instead of spiritual blessings, but they nevertheless help us to get to know and understand God. Because we see this pattern in Scripture. We've been talking about this the last few Sundays. God hides himself in some sense, but in the ways we expect to find him, we don't find him, but he quite powerfully reveals himself in other ways. One of those other ways is this idea of the sacraments. A perfect example of is Naaman the leper, who to the Lord said to him, go and bathe in the Jordan River seven times and you will be healed. And so you see how the Lord used the earthly element of the river, the water. And through that earthly thing, he gave him this great blessing of cleansing of his skin, being healed from his disease. Now, does that mean if we have leprosy and we go bathe in the Jordan seven times, we'll be healed? No, it doesn't mean that, because that promise, that command is not given to us. Remember, that's why I said the second part of the sacrament is something the Lord commands, something the Lord tells us to do. We have no command, we have no promise from God that bathing in the Jordan River seven times is going to heal us of any disease, whether it be leprosy or anything else. And so it won't work for us. And that brings out a very important point about the sacrament. And that is that the heart of the sacrament, the essential important part of the sacrament, is not our obedience to God, but the promise that God gives in the sacrament. That's what makes it a sacrament. Without that promise, it's just a useless, empty, vain act. But with the promise, it's the power of God. It's the Lord coming to us. Bathing in the river accomplishes nothing. Eating a wafer and drinking wine accomplishes nothing unless the promise of God is there. And so we have the promise here in this sacrament. Another good example is the scripture reading that I already pointed to, the Passover. which of course has a very intimate connection with the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is the New Testament replacement of the Passover, not the full replacement, not the final thing. The final full fulfillment of both the Passover and the Lord's Supper is going to come in the moment which Jesus comes, when we will eat and dine with Christ in the heavenly kingdom. That's the final fulfillment. But the Lord's Supper is the New Testament partial fulfillment, replacement, if you will, of that Passover. Here the children of Israel were told that they should paint the blood of a lamb on the doorposts of their house. And all who did this, painted the blood of the lamb, would receive the gift of life. Specifically, the gift that their eldest son would not be killed. And the angel of death would pass over those houses. So is it something special about the blood of the lamb? Is the blood of the lamb somehow a ward against the angel of death? A special magical incantation that keeps that angel away? Of course not. And yet, that is how many people thought, a lot of people in the medieval ages, and some even to this day, that is how they think of the Lord's Supper. As some kind of magical incantation. In the same way they think of holy water, which is not even in any way connected to God's word. God never commands or tells us to do that. And yet people think it has this special power to ward off evil. In fact, that's where the English words hocus pocus come from. They come from the Latin words hoc est corpus meum. This is my body. And the people in the medieval ages who didn't understand anything about what the priests were saying or doing, all they knew is that the priest said these words from an ancient language, and supposedly the bread and the wine were transformed into the body and blood of Christ. And so they saw that and thought, oh, there must be power in those words. There's a magical incantation. And so the Latin, this is my body, has come to be to symbolize the idea of witchcraft and magic. What a perversion of the wonderful gift that God has given to us. The power doesn't come from the word itself, the word that the Latin or the English or the Greek words. The power doesn't come from the faith of the pastor. The power doesn't come from your faith. If you believe hard enough, then somehow that makes it happen. The power comes from the Word of God. The Word not as a series of syllables, but the Word as a message to you. No matter what language you say it in, no matter which words you use to describe it, the message, this was done for you. When we do this, as the Lord commands, and what does the Lord command? He says, take and eat. Eat and drink in remembrance of me. Then we receive the body and blood of the Lord. Because the Lord promises to work through that sacrament. Another example is the flood. And here we have kind of a special example because unlike the first one I mentioned, this one is specifically spoken of as a type of the sacrament. The Apostle Peter takes the flood and he says the flood is a symbol, a lesson to teach us about baptism. And if it's teaching us about baptism, it's teaching us about the sacraments. Noah was saved through the building of the ark. But what was it that saved Noah? Was it the action of building the ark? Was it the ark itself? Certainly not. Bread. I'm guessing it's a pretty good guess that other people in Noah's days had boats. I mean, when God came to Noah and said, you know, I want you to build a big boat, Noah didn't say, oh, what's a boat? You know, he knew what it was. Maybe not to that size and diameter, or size and height, width and height, however you want to say it. But he got the general concept. Other people had boats. And there could even have been people who built boats as big as the ark. And even if someone had built something to the exact specifications that God commanded Noah, exactly the same as Noah's boat, I guarantee you, he would not have been saved in the flood through it. Because it wasn't the ark that saved Noah. It was God's promise working through the ark. It was the Lord fulfilling his promise. And how did he fulfill it? Yes, he fulfilled it through the ark, but it was the power of God. It was the promise of God that made certain that that ark stayed afloat, and Noah and all that were with him came through safe the other side. So once again, not the action, not the faith, not the words, but the power of God working through some earthly means that he chooses. And why was it that Noah built the ark? He built the ark because he believed the word that the Lord spoke to him. If he had not listened to that word of God, if he had not believed God when he said, I'm going to send a flood and it's going to destroy the earth and you need to build an ark and I'm going to save you through the ark, if he had not believed, he would have perished with all the others. But the power, the promise of God, would not have been lacking. The promise and the power of God would have remained the same. It's man who would have failed. But Noah didn't fail. He believed God, and through faith, he received the promise that God gave and accomplished through the earthly thing. Thus we see that the power is in God's word. The power of God's word works through the earthly elements. And that, the earthly elements and the gift God offers are received by us in faith. There are many other examples I could point to learn about sacraments. The raising of Lazarus, the very thing we've been talking about. We're going to see this coming Sunday how the Lord says to Martha, roll away the stone. The Lord didn't need Martha to roll away the stone. He could have done it himself. He could have raised Lazarus and brought him through. But he gives her that simple act by which she shows her faith and becomes a partaker in the glorious miracle that Jesus did. The tree, even from the very beginning, the tree in the garden is in its own way an anti-sacrament. Because there it was not doing that through which God was like. What did he say? If you do not eat of the tree, because if you eat of it, bit of a reverse. Here's a simple task. Don't do it to show your love for me. Don't do it and you will have life. And the opposite. The healing of the man born blind that we talked about a few months ago. Lord, it gives him this as well. These and many more we see throughout the scriptures, but these are sufficient for the lesson for tonight. to see how the Lord works by the power of his word through the earthly elements, even the very earthly elements you are going to receive here tonight. The Lord gives a promise. Those who hear and believe do as he says, and through faith receive the one thing we need above all else, the forgiveness of our sins.